Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Mountains are majestic and can be somewhat intimidating. They inspire us. They have symbolic meaning for us, as in climb every mountain and purple mountain majesties. Or sometimes we can be accused of making a mountain out of a molehill. Mountains are amazing geological structures. Some people cannot live far from them, and others cannot help but attempt to climb them. But do they also cause terror and dread? Perhaps the early pioneers, as they forged their way west, saw the mountains as obstacles and were overwhelmed by what potentially obstructed their way to their destination, to their future, to their success, their happiness. Did they view them with terror and dread? I'm not sure that they did, but I'm sure that some probably did, but maybe others were indifferent about that. But I do know that Abraham in our text must have been overcome when Mount Moriah came into his view. Now, many of you heard this Old Testament reading the first Sunday in Lent, and I preached this text in a little different way. This evening we look at it from mountain to mountain, Mount Moriah to Mount Zion. The Lord came to Abraham and instructed him to take his son, his only son, the son that, as we learned last Sunday, this past Sunday, that he and Sarah had waited 24 years for, from the first time the Lord came to Abraham and told him he was going to make him a great nation and send him away from Haran to a land that he promised to give to him. And so now we hear that the Lord is instructing him to take his son, his only son, to Mount Moriah and offer him up to sacrifice him on an altar on this mountain. Abraham was faithful. Abraham trusted that the Lord would provide, so he prepared for the sacrifice. Loading the donkey with wood, he headed for the region of Moriah. What a journey that must have been. We might want to consider who was bearing the greater burden, the donkey or Father Abraham. Abraham knew what lay ahead, but Isaac was clueless. Isaac was clueless. You're not clueless. So what do you talk about on the way? How do you act? When you know that the death of your child, and at your hands no less, lies in your path, how do you say the things that need to be said without giving away the reason for your journey, your reason for even saying what's on your mind? It was hard enough for me when I took each of my children away to college the first time. For Abraham, this was quiet, a time for quiet in the journey, one with the promise of death that accompanied him all the way. Then after 3 days, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and there it was, the mountain, Mount Moriah. So the time had come. Sin requires sacrifice. Blood must be shed to pay the price. Payment must be made to satisfy the debt. Sin is the cause for us and all mankind being exiled from God. And so the overarching theme for our midweek Lenten services has to deal with being exiled from God and what it means in our Lenten journey to understand how God has bridged the gap for us. even though sometimes we hold him at an arm's distance, even though we betray his trust, even though we act faithless so often, he bridges the gap and calls us home. And the only way to return from this exile is that the price demanded be paid. And the price to be paid is blood. So to satisfy the payment demanded, Abraham prepares to offer up his only son. So this wasn't the first time both Abraham and Isaac knew anything about sacrifice. They knew what sacrifice was. They knew the ritual. Isaac bears the wood upon which he was to be sacrificed on the mount, and he wonders and asks, where's the lamb for the sacrifice? Dad, we're forgetting something here. He knows there must be bloodshed to atone for sin. He knows, as I said, the ritual. He knows and he wants to know where the sacrifice is, and Abraham's heart must have been ripped from his chest when Isaac asked the question, and so how do you answer that question? What could be said and how could it be said? Abraham in his brokenness responds in faith, even as the tears are probably pushing against the back of his eyes and his stomach is in his throat. Haven't you been there? Not the same situation, but haven't you been there? When it's all you can do to hold back the tears, or what you've got to say or what you've got to do has got you so upset that you just can't deal with it. And he says, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. Maybe at that point it could have all come crashing in on Abraham to the point that he would throw up his hands and cry out, what's the use of all this? Why do you want me to do this? This is completely unacceptable. I can't be bound by your law. But Abraham has faith and he trusts. Abraham knows the Lord will provide the lamb for sacrifice, but unfortunately the lamb is Isaac. This he does not know, and it is this that makes his feet drag and makes his spirit sag. Is the sacrifice Isaac? Yet Abraham carries on. He builds an altar, he arranges the wood, and he places his only son upon the wood. He raises the knife. And the Lord stays his hand. Now, in my sermon two Sundays ago, I talked about why this was being done. Of course, the text tells us Abraham's being tested, but we also know that there was child sacrifice in other religions in the area, as there have been throughout the world's history. So this may have been a way of saying, this religion isn't like that religion. I'm not like those gods, which aren't gods anyway. But why would he have Abraham even go to the point of binding his son and placing him on the altar? The Lord provides a sacrifice, a ram caught in a thicket. And thus it is said, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And indeed it was, and indeed it is, forevermore. So powerful is this account, so intense is the drama, so shocking the faith, so amazing the rescue, that the Hebrew people will later build the temple on this very hill. This very hill, this mountain, is where God dwells with his people. That's where he promised his presence. His presence throughout their wilderness wanderings was promised in the tent of meeting, what we know to be the tabernacle. We also know someone who came and dwelt among us full of grace and truth, and that term could be translated tented or tabernacled among us, and we know who that is, and we'll get to him in just a minute. But this is Mount Zion. Consider this. The Hebrew people revere this account of Abraham and Isaac so highly that it has its own title and place in their faith. They call it Akedah, which is the Hebrew word for binding. Now you can read all sorts of Hebrew scholars on this, and there's a whole gamut of opinions about this, just like you can read Christian theologians on this, and there's a whole gamut of possibilities in what they'll say about this as well. But indeed, this was profound. Isaac is the only bound, tied down sacrifice in the Old Testament. All other sacrifices are first killed and then placed upon the altar as their blood is poured and sprinkled. Isaac is the only bound sacrifice, the only living sacrifice in the Old Testament. In the rest of the Bible, there is only one more, the one who came and dwelt among us full of grace and truth, the Word that became flesh and tabernacled in our presence. On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. On the mountain, the sacrifice of the only begotten Son of God will be provided. He too is a bound sacrifice, for he is nailed to the tree to suffer and to die. Sin, our sin, has exiled us from God. Our sin is an affront to God. He doesn't even want to look at it. Blood is required for payment. And on the mountain the Lord provides. This sacrifice takes place on another mountain, Mount Calvary. Here Jesus carries the wood for his sacrifice, a tree, a cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And from that tree on that mountain, the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world is brought to Mount Zion. Jesus Christ brings his own blood onto Mount Zion, into the temple, through the curtain, and into the most holy place. The temple curtain is ripped in two, and the blood of the Lamb is poured out on the mercy seat of God. The Lord provides the final sacrifice for the sins of the world as Jesus suffers God-forsakenness, exile. I don't know if we really fully understand when Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? What that means, that he has actually turned his face away from his Son who is bearing our sin so that his only begotten Son suffers hell in our place. The Lord provides the final sacrifice for the sins of the world as Jesus suffers God-forsakenness, exile from the Father for you and for me and for all. Abraham makes a 3-day journey to Mount Moriah prior to the sacrifice of his son, but Jesus' 3-day journey follows his sacrifice. For 3 days, he lies in the tomb. For 3 days, the grave holds him even as he rests on the Sabbath, keeping the law perfectly. But on the 3rd day, Jesus is lifted up to new life, a glorious resurrection. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And this believing is not just lip service, but it is faithfulness and trust that the Lord indeed has provided and will continue to provide. God provided his Son, his only Son, as the sacrifice required for sin, and all who believe in him shall not perish. For God provides everlasting life on this mountain. Here he destroys death forever and ever. Mount Moriah to Mount Zion, a return from exile. We who have been exiled from the presence of God by our sin have been returned to his presence, restored to his face, reunited on this mountain. On this mountain, God provides his only Son, and he provides the bloody payment for sin, and he calls us to live as his children. On this mountain, as the curtain is severed in two, the gates of heaven are thrown open to those who believe and call upon his name. Indeed, on this mountain, the Lord provides. Thanks be to God. Amen. May this peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, may it guard our hearts and guard our minds in faith in Christ Jesus. To life everlasting, amen.